Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Labyrinths in the News. Today is the second day of the Solar Jaguar Moon of Intention, Seli Root Chakra, Red Galactic Moon Day. The affirmation is, I harmonize in order to purify. Modeling flow, I seal the process of universal water with the galactic tone of integrity. I am guided by the power of space. It's also Gregorian calendar day, Monday, March 8th, 2010. I'm your host, Christiana, coming to you live from the Couve, that's Vancouver, Washington, across the river from Portland, Oregon, as I will be doing most every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. My lead-in music is the first cut off of Susan Alexander's CD, Sequentia, called Icos, E-I-K-O-S, which is short for icosahedron, the water symbol in sacred geometry. Sequentia is music using tones recorded from DNA vibrations. Susan recorded these tones in 1988 with the help of Dr. David Diemer, at the time a cell biologist at the Davis campus of the University of California. If any of you would like to chat while we're on the air, please go to Christiana-Anea at blogtalkradio.com. My guest today is Stephanie Blackton, the Labyrinth Society's 2010 World Labyrinth Day Coordinator. She's responsible for organizing and getting the word out about this special event. Thank you, Stephanie, for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure, Christiana. Thanks for having me. Any chance to talk about World Labyrinth Day, I appreciate it.
Am I too loud? Can you hear me fine?
Yep, I hear you very well.
Okay, good. So tell us a little bit first about yourself and how you got involved, a little bit about with TLS, and this is not your first year doing this, is it? You have been the coordinator since World Labyrinth Day started, or how long have you been doing this?
Yes. World Labyrinth Day 2009 was the first World Labyrinth Day, so yeah. Well, a little bit about me. I'm a licensed chiropractor. I live near Charlottesville, Virginia. I grew up in Florida and practiced for 18 years in Atlanta, Georgia, and moved to Virginia 10 years ago. And interestingly enough, right around that time, I read an article in a magazine about a community coming together, building a labyrinth, walking the labyrinth together, and it just touched me. Something changed. And I was intrigued with the labyrinth, and I felt like I had a tool to empower people to find their own answers. And I Googled my way to the Labyrinth Society, read the mission statement, and signed up probably within 5 minutes. And the annual gathering was a few months after that, and that's been since 2002. So I've served as the on the 2003 Baltimore Gathering Team and currently and have been for a while the Mid-Atlantic Regional Rep. And then later I joined the Labyrinth Society Board, and that was really the beginning of World Labyrinth Day. There was a board meeting, and the results of a strategic planning team findings had been presented, and one of the recommendations that they made was to have an annual Worldwide Labyrinth Walk Day, and that idea just jumped off the page at me, and within a few months' time, we had a committee formed and were hashing out dates, and 12 weeks after we presented the proposal and chose the date as the first Saturday in May, we had our first World Labyrinth Day, and that would be May 2nd last year. It's the first Saturday in May, so it's been a bit of a whirlwind. So,
You know, I didn't realize that this was only the second year. Tell us a bit about the specifics of this event. You know, what is the purpose of it? I mean, why have a World Labyrinth Day?
That's a good question. What appealed to me, I like to say the labyrinth is a path we can all walk together. And so for me, it's a unifying opportunity for people all over the world to celebrate labyrinths together. And there are several different days. There's an International Day of the Labyrinth that's sponsored by a group in Germany, I believe. And Veritas holds some different walks different times of the year. But as far as I know, this is, I think, the biggest event, and I'm learning more about it all the time, but I think with the strength of the Labyrinth Society behind it, the infrastructure there, World Labyrinth Day 2009 was a pretty good success, I think, especially with 12 weeks notice. So it was celebrated in 103 locations that I know about. I've got a list of the different countries because I think it's pretty exciting. There were lots and lots of locations in the United States, including Hawaii and the U.S. Virgin Islands, maximum security prison, the prison that I volunteer at. They celebrated World Labyrinth Day there. There was an event held in a cemetery, the Bahamas, Canada, England, Scotland, New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, and Hong Kong and China. There's also an event. Yeah. There's also an event that was the brainchild of Randy Fillmore. It's called the Capitol Walk on the Ellipse in Washington, D.C. And several people volunteered with that. And we put two labyrinths down and planted seeds, handed out, I think, about 500 brochures and planted labyrinth seeds in 12 different countries. And I was reviewing my notes today, New Zealand, Germany, France, China, Croatia, Japan, Australia, Greece, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and England were all, we talked to people from all those different places that day, and it was just magical. So there was another, if I've got the time to talk about it, I think one of my favorite World Labyrinth Day walks last year was the temporary edible labyrinth that was held in Port Orford, Oregon. TLS member Pollyanne Balch Rancourt, I hope I'm saying that right, and Nancy Angelesco created a temporary edible labyrinth using it as an opportunity to collect donations for two food banks. And they called it the North Curry Food Labyrinth, and they were awarded special project status in April. So I think that's probably one of my favorite walks, just because they kind of went outside the box with it. And for me, it's one thing to come together and walk as a group, but to use it as a day to teach about labyrinths or lecture about labyrinths or build labyrinths or make labyrinth art. There's so many different ways that it can be done. So I think there's a frame.
What kind of food did they use?
They collected it. When people came, they put tape down on the floor and made the pattern, and then people brought donations of food and placed it on the line. So they had kind of a multi-purpose event that day.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just never know what people are going to think of mm-hmm. when it comes to this kind of thing. And in really labyrinth, I guess, there's no limit to the creativeness that you can bring to it, building
right.
one. I mean, really.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say one of my favorite stories, and this is not World Labyrinth Day, but when you talk about the creativity, I believe it was Robert Ferre's training. He talked about they were going to take a labyrinth to, I believe it was Russia, and they were flying, and they needed something lightweight, and they used plastic forks to make the line. So, bird seed, all kinds of different things. So, but the response has been really, really wonderful. And I was, in preparation for this, I was reflecting on, I really feel privileged because I get to see the kind of the on-the-ground stories, the behind-the-scenes, the little connections with people, and to know that, you know, on one day there were people in, you know, South Africa and on the beach in England and Australia really took the ball and ran with it. They had several events in all over the United States and Canada and the Bahamas. It was embraced by people. People were very excited about it. And I'm sure we're going to talk about the Walk as One at One, but there's just been a real enthusiasm for this. So it's very, very exciting and rewarding.
And are you surprised by where these labyrinths? I mean, I know you have the Worldwide Labyrinth Locator, but mm-hmm. last year's response and where these labyrinths were, mm-hmm. and who was doing it? I mean, is it all walks of life? I mean, why do you think this has just struck a chord and it's important to you, and I understand that, but to make it a universal or a worldwide event and have people all over the world respond so positively, why do you think that is?
I'm not really sure. I think some of it is, I believe that World Labyrinth is an idea whose time has come, and I felt like I was, this may sound woo-woo, but like channeling World Labyrinth Day. The idea just captivated me, and it was just energizing, and people that I talk to, there's just so many different ways it can be used in schools, and so I think my enthusiasm for labyrinths in general and the resources that the Labyrinth Society provides, and then here's this way to connect with different people around the world. But yes, I was surprised. I had no idea how it would show up. I did post something to Veriditas, and that's another thing that's been very exciting to me, is to see that it didn't matter where people came from. It was an event that people just took the ball and ran with it. So there were a lot of Veriditas facilitators that were hosting walks, the forum, we used the Labyrinth Society forum. So the Labyrinth Society has provided the infrastructure for the day and very generously made the resources available, the events calendar on the website, the Labyrinth Society, it doesn't matter if you're a member or not, please post your event there. The Labyrinth Society and Veriditas both sponsor the Labyrinth Locator, and we're asking people to put their, create the their labyrinth is a World Labyrinth Day location there. So if somebody's looking for this, they've got two places where they can go to find an event in their community. So I think
what's the actual URL to go to for this?
Well, labyrinthsociety.org, and it's labyrinthsociety.org is the Labyrinth Society website, and there's now newly there is the World Labyrinth Day module. Kay Whipple, the web chair, has worked very hard on website updates, forum upgrades. There's a link on the homepage there that will take you to a whole module that we've got resources. There's a press release people can use. I'm hoping that people will take the press release and promote their local labyrinth event and generate some positive press for what they're doing with the credibility of the Labyrinth Society, behind them. But there's activities for kids, there's how to make a labyrinth, there's a finger labyrinth you can download. It's a work in progress. I've also got kind of a passion about creating an uninterrupted wave of labyrinth walking as this moves around the planet, so providing resources for that there. And one of the things that I've learned as I've been coordinating this, I've learned a whole lot about time zones and geography and date lines and longitudes and latitudes. The idea that teachers might be able to develop some lesson plans and the movement to bring labyrinths into schools, there's definitely some ways to bring geography. And I think there'll be a tremendous algebra problem if we can figure out the walk as one at one. There's, I think it's 40 different time zones, even though there's 24 hours in a day. So,
Let me go back, because I have so many questions.
Yeah.
You mentioned China. I just have to know, what did they do in China? And is this, does this strike a chord with the Chinese people because of their, I'm just fascinated that it would actually be of interest in China, except that there is a huge, you know, history of in the Taoist tradition and all of that. But what did they do last year?
You know, I only know that they had a walk, and how I knew that there were as many walks as there were, because last year the word didn't get out as well, and there were not that many locations listed on the events calendar or on the Labyrinth locator as, you know, official sites or whatever. And I just got this hit one day. I started playing with Google Maps, and I started making a map. I wanted to see where did this happen. And then as I started letting people know and posting things that I was making a map, and if you had a location, you know, be in touch with me, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. So I expected, you know, maybe 40 locations. And at the end, when I had over 103 that I know about, it was pretty exciting. Anyway, part of that whole process, I heard, I believe it was John Ritter had sold a labyrinth to, it's a church in Hong Kong, and he let me know that they wanted that labyrinth in time for World Labyrinth Day. So on the Google map, you can find the location and find the contact information if you would like to know more about what they did in Hong Kong.
Okay, it was in Hong Kong. Okay, all right. That's fascinating to me. Okay, so... So people can go to the website and copy the press release and then cut and paste their own information for their own labyrinth walk and give it to their own newspapers and local press. Correct? Is that what you're?
Something like that. I would say every paper is going to be a little different. We've got a freebie monthly paper here. I just sent them the press release and added the local thing, and they took it on. I know the guy, first name basis, it's a small community. Depends on your market, but it is a press release from the Labyrinth Society that you could attach your bit to, and you may be able to get in there and edit it. I need to look at it. There was some challenges with uploading, and I'm not totally confident that it's something that somebody could actually edit the press release. But
well, this year you have a theme of Walk as One as One. Did you have a theme last year? I mean, it was rushed a little bit, but this year you have a very specific theme, which you've alluded to just a minute ago. So let's talk a little bit about that, the phrase Walk as One at One, and why, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm. That actually came out of the original World Labyrinth Day Committee, and it's interesting because it was brought up as initially that we would all walk at one Greenwich Mean Time, so everywhere on the planet people would be having a labyrinth walk, so you might be out there at 3 a.m. or something, and then somebody else suggested a rolling wave of if we all walked at 1 p.m., and that seemed like an easier one to actually have happen. So Walk as One at One has been part of this since the beginning. So World Labyrinth Day was declared, and within that is an invitation to Walk as One at One. And to me, that's some of the most powerful potential, I think, for this. So the idea of, I think it was the research chair, John Rhodes, he calls it the labyrinth effect, I believe, where the most commonly reported effect of walking the labyrinth is people feel more peaceful. And that really speaks to me. So the idea of there's a lot of change happening on this planet, a lot of areas, stress, conflict, famine, whatever. What's possible if we actually create an uninterrupted wave of this labyrinth effect moving around the planet on this one day? What might we do? And initially, when we first started talking about this, and I had this sense of, oh, my God, what might we do here in terms of creating or bringing more peace to the planet, is looking ahead to 2012. So that some people are concerned that the Mayan calendar ends in 2012, and we've got a total of three labyrinth days before then, and how we might bring about more ease and peace in that whole shifting consciousness.
And what is, and so you've created this for this year, and so what has been the response so far? I mean, you have this world walk as one as one. How are you getting this information out besides the TLS website, and how are you letting people know about this event?
Right. Pretty much anybody that will listen to me, but I would say that this is really a grassroots effort, kind of an organic process. I've talked to people who will listen. I have a signature on my emails. We've got the World Labyrinth Day module now on the website, the forum. We've got a Facebook event hosted by the Labyrinth Society Facebook page, and we're asking people to list their labyrinths on the locator and the events calendar. So it's really word of mouth, and I don't know that ambassadors is the right word, but the idea of enrolling people in the idea of how you can help is tell people about this. This is your opportunity to talk to people about labyrinths, people that don't know about labyrinths but are maybe interested in grassroots peacemaking. I think there's a broad appeal here. So it's, I guess to sum it up, though, I would say grassroots, this radio show, just talking to people. And I think we'll know after the event how well we did this year.
And have you started getting responses? Do you know of people, groups that are going to be participating already?
Yes. Some people have listed their events on the events calendar and on the Labyrinth locator, but like last year, I'm hoping anyway, there wasn't as much notice ahead of time, and then after the fact, people, that's when we found out. I'm hoping by specifically saying, you know, promote this, let us know, tell us about your walk, that there will be more news beforehand where the walks will be, but I expect that afterwards we'll probably find out about some labyrinth walks that happened that maybe weren't planned. And the other thing, too, I feel pretty strongly that no event is too small. One person walking by themselves with a finger labyrinth using the virtual labyrinth on the Labyrinth Society website, to me, is part of World Labyrinth Day. It doesn't have to be a big community walk. So, and what was exciting last year was some people that were by themselves walking shared how powerful it felt knowing that there were other people around the world or in their time zone that they were walking with. So the connectedness was very powerful.
Right, right. And a lot of times, I know from my own personal experiences, sometimes I felt like, when you walk the labyrinth and all of a sudden you're way at the edge and you feel like you're totally disconnected, but you're not really. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you're working with labyrinths for years, sometimes you get used to people thinking you've got 3 heads and 12 horns, but you know, you keep doing it, and then it becomes more and more acceptable. But to have an event like this really helps bring that sense of community and connection. And I think maybe that's one of the other reasons that it strikes such a profound chord, because there is that connection and that energy. And what you just said was that it doesn't have to be a big deal. People can just take their lap labyrinths or their wooden labyrinths and sit in the sun at 1 p.m. in their time zone and do the labyrinth and be a part of this whole thing.
Right. Yep.
And you know, so you don't have to, if you're convalescing, if you can't walk, if you're in the hospital, you can still participate. Mm-hmm. You can still be a part of this. Mm-hmm. And that's rare. I mean, how many things can you do that with, you know, that's worldwide?
Right. Yes. And I think even just setting the intention in the local labyrinth ministry that I'm part of, this one woman would come every time we put the labyrinth out and just sit. She just liked to be in the space of the labyrinth. She actually didn't ever walk it. She was not she didn't feel strong enough to do that, but she thoroughly enjoyed sitting. So the phrase, there's, I like to say there's no wrong ways or there's only right ways to do it. There are no right or wrong ways. Maybe get a little split some hairs about it, but the idea that if you feel called to do it a certain way, to trust that. To me, that's the beauty of the labyrinth, is it helps us connect with our own inner wisdom. And if your inner wisdom says, dance the labyrinth, drum the labyrinth, whatever, walk it backwards, sit in the middle of it, to me, that's the beauty of it, is kind of being into the, you know, what are you called to? So.
Well, do you have you gotten any feedback about some of the ideas or events that are being presented? I mean, I know I added some information on the Facebook, on the TLS Facebook page about what's happening in the Portland, greater Portland area. Mm-hmm. And we're having, I mean, Merrillhurst University is going to have a big event there with bunch of with lots of labyrinths and a whole bunch of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of any other places where they're going to have a whole organized event?
Not that I'm aware of, and I think the point that you left out about that you're going to be there doing a live show, to me that's very exciting. So I would say you take the cake on what I'm aware of right now. So.
Well, you know, this is an opportunity now to really get be a part, bring the labyrinth into this age of technology with all the social social working sites, social websites, and what's wonderful is the immediacy that this creates when you have something like this that is broadcast around the world, and you can actually talk to people. I'm going to have a webcam, and you can actually get people's impressions and opinions right then and there, you know, as they before they walk, as they come off the labyrinth, if they're willing to talk. I'm not going to shove the mic in their faces or anything, but. But there's an immediacy to that is very powerful, and I'm hoping that it will encourage people to look for labyrinths in their local areas and build and be creative, you know, to really express their own creativity through this sacred path building.
Yes. Yeah, that was the, like when people, last year people sent pictures and little journal entries, and I created a PowerPoint presentation that was shown at the gathering, and I think there were, I'm going to say 17 locations that I had pictures for out of 103, the others I just had the actual location of it. But yes, I think documenting the day and being able to see how people were touched by this, and some of that is what I was saying before, is I feel really blessed that I get to see the on the ground, to hear the feedback on how people were touched by the day. And I think what you're doing, the fact that you're going to be able to capture it and then it'll be in a format that you can share with people, I think is very exciting. That's, to me, why, I guess going back to the article that I read, it was based on the experience that they shared in this magazine article that spoke to me, which then propelled me into, you know, joining TLS and being involved as much as I am. It's made a huge difference. So I think what you're doing to document that will exponentially affect people being curious about labyrinths and using labyrinths. So I'm very excited about
what
you're doing.
Yeah, and I hope people will also, I mean, you have YouTube there out there now too, and it's so easy to make a little video. And I hope people will use, now, of course, you have to be sensitive to people who are walking. You know, it is a contemplative, to some degree, a contemplative, a reflective type of experience. Mm-hmm. And so my feeling is you encourage people to get people's permission to film them if they're going to be filmed, or let people know, listen, we're going to be filming this. We're going to do a YouTube video on this. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly a wonderful subject for a YouTube video, and you can do that, you know, everybody who's going to be doing events could do something mm-hmm. like that. And which brings me to this other question. I mean, here we have this event happening, and you have this, hopefully, this wonderful rolling wave of peace energy, of energy enveloping the world. Then how is TLS fostering a way for the participants to share these experiences mm-hmm. during the day and afterwards? Are you going to have a board up? Are you going to keep the Facebook board up so people can respond and talk back and forth? Or,
well, I'm actually exploring that. This is kind of an unfolding thing that I'm, you know, integrating with, or I guess interfacing with the Labyrinth Society about, the idea of doing a YouTube video. I wanted to do that with the pictures that I had from last year, but we didn't have, I can't remember for the presentation, I think I had two choices on how to do it in PowerPoint. Worked out to be the way, but if I had more hours in the day, and I may get to it yet, but the idea of doing a YouTube, possibly even using the pictures from last year, that the one challenge I've run into is using music that is not copyright protected, finding that, or finding some artist that's willing to say, yes, you can use that, which I may be able to come up with. But I think a YouTube video without music would, I don't know, I think it should have music. But anyway, but for this year, yes, there's a link on the World Labyrinth Day module where it opens an email, and I'm asking for photos, preferably of people that can't be identified. In Washington, D.C., we took several pictures at the ellipse, and we used the ones where you couldn't see the people's faces. So I think seeing just a labyrinth and, oh, that was World Labyrinth Day, but when you see the people participating in it, it just brings another dimension to it. So that was a very long way of saying, yes, I would love to get pictures and just a brief kind of journal blurb of what the day was like. One group last year, as a group, came together and used finger labyrinths, and some of the little blurbs are they just add so much to it. So, yes, I'd like to put all that together in some kind of format, and possibly it'll be a YouTube video. It may be a like a slideshow. But I think for people to be able to see the thing that they were part of, not just they had their experience, but to actually put it in the context of what else was happening in the world, I would like to be able to do that. And if people have experience, please be in touch.
Well, the other thing is that if they make their own YouTube videos, then they make sure that they send in information or the URL mm-hmm. so that mm-hmm. you can then pass on this information to everybody else.
Yeah.
So everybody can, you know, the URL site can be accessed mm-hmm. and we can know about it. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is, this is May 1st. This is the first weekend in May, and it's also mm-hmm. a very potent time in yep. the Druidic Celtic time, the Beltane. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of any crossover? Actually, we're doing something at Merrillhurst too. We're going to have a maypole dance on mm-hmm. a labyrinth, and hopefully have music too. But I was mm-hmm. actually talking, and I didn't tell you this, I was talking to somebody, emailing somebody. I found out about a woman in Cornwall who mm-hmm. has created a labyrinth on the coast, right next to the coastal path on the cliffs overlooking the channel. Mm-hmm. And she was very excited about World Labyrinth Day because mm-hmm. it coincided with Beltane, and they already have a Beltane festival that they use the labyrinth for. So she was going to try to incorporate this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, please, please, please make sure that you add your labyrinth to the Worldwide Labyrinth Locator and let us know if you're mm-hmm. going to be doing this wonderful mm-hmm. event. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of any other Beltane events that are going to be incorporating the Labyrinth too?
No, but I know that when we were discussing when to hold this, May 1st was one of the dates for that reason. So I think that there are people who are already quite pleased the way it falls this year. So next year it'll be May 7th, then May 5th, and then May 4th. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always very connected to also to the whole Mary in France, and that's when the Mary festivals start in May. So there is a connection there to the Labyrinth and the sacred feminine, divine feminine, and so that's kind of interesting too that there is that connection as well. There's sort of this interwovenness there. So what else? So you're talking about 2011 and 2012. Do you see this as, how do you see this building for these next 2 years? Or do you just want to just try to keep this energy going? So that there's a sense of peace and healing that might prevent catastrophe. not that that's what the Mayans were talking about at all, and I don't believe they were. But that we can. I think the message is that we can do things now.
Right.
To alter the energy, and this is one way of doing that.
Right, right. And I think that's why it has so much appeal, is because it doesn't matter whether you're, you know, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Native American, it doesn't matter who you are, agnostic. This is something that you can participate in, and you don't have to believe anything, or you, a Christian and a Jew can walk on the same labyrinth, and both go within. So I think when you ask me about, you know, the potential for this, I feel like this is not that it doesn't still need tending, but that the response is just so positive. And I think because it's open-ended, it there's broad appeal. So if you don't like crowds, you can stay home and participate. And actually, the thing that I'm saying about the walk as one at one, creating the uninterrupted wave, if you look at a map or globe, there are large places that will not have, you know, more than an hour passes and somebody would not be walking. And I was thinking that I don't know if it will happen this year, but my goal is to have the uninterrupted wave, and where someone might pledge to walk for, you know, Iran, Iraq, Korea, Africa, some place that we know there was no labyrinth event last year, or don't think there was, and to actually carry the way for some of these other places in the world. So that's something that I've been working on, and that's what I was saying in terms of the geography lesson and time zone.
And how would they do that? How would they do that from where they're located? They would just wait, and they would walk at one in their own location, and then they would walk at one in the location where they're pledging?
Right, right. Kimberly Sayward shared with me this morning that she actually walked a couple of different times on World Labyrinth Day. She was in England and was in the States, and I believe she walked for when it would have been morning short and possibly at home. And so, I think with the idea of the power of intention, if my intention is, I'm say, at 10 a.m., it's 1 p.m. in some other place in the world that I'm willing to pledge to walk for that, it's kind of like owning it. Handling the commitment for it. So I don't know if I've explained that very well, but
that's... Well, I think what you're saying is very, very important. And I didn't mean to laugh before about the Mayan prophecy and all of the hoopla around it, which is very inaccurate. And I'm absolutely dedicated to dispelling that. So I apologize for that. But the aspect of intention in with labyrinths, labyrinths to me are energy tools. They alter energy. They alter the energetic warp and weft of the planet. And so when you combine many labyrinths, walking with people on them, walking together in this wave with intent, you can alter time. Alter future, alter the effects and dispel negativity, and this is what the Mayans were very, very clear about. You know, it's happening now, and so we can, just as there is a lot of problems on the planet and attachments and suffering, there is also great joy, and there is also a huge space for healing and empowerment with intention. And I think this is what you're talking about in terms of what is possible when many, many people walk labyrinths and then pledge for the Sahara Desert and all those places where there either are no people or there are no labyrinth located, and so that they keep this wave going, this energy wave going.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing too that's been really interesting to me is to see where all these places are. They're not just names. It's like, oh, okay, that's in the same longitude. Like Mexico City and San Jose, Costa Rica, it's like they're in the same, I'll call it a wedge. There's 360 degrees of, in the planet, the sphere, and there's a 0 degrees, and then there's 100, you work towards 180 east longitude and 180 west longitude, and if you look up and down the longitude, it's like, oh, all these places that share this that I never realized that before. So it's been quite interesting to me. As a matter of fact, one of the women, Lorraine Rada, the regional rep in Australia, it's now Tuesday morning for her right now. It's like, ah, okay. So my own egocentrism has come up as I've kind of taken this on. I've learned a lot about how I assume that everything starts in the United States and revolves around us. So it's been enlightening.
Well, I hope that also for next year, as the technology advances, that we might be able, that you might on the TLS website may be able to do something like a map where you can have spots where there's going to be events, and people can actually open up the page where there's a labyrinth event happening, so they can see where these events are occurring across the planet, which would be really cool too. I have a caller on finally. Let me get this caller on because we don't have a lot of time. Okay. So let me get this person on the air. Hold on.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air with Christiana and Stephanie. Who's this?
Good morning. Good morning from Australia. This is Lorraine Rada. I'm the Australian rep down here.
We were just talking about you.
Welcome to Labyrinth in the News, Lorraine.
Pardon?
Welcome to Labyrinth in the News.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, fantastic show. And Stephanie, you're doing a wonderful job promoting the labyrinths around the world.
Thank you.
I think it's the power of the internet and the power of, the sheer numbers of regional reps, as you said, the infrastructure's out there to do all the community development work. and this allows the grassroots to really come through, and they really they've just embraced it down here.
Yes, Australia was quite inspiring, and you all were really good about putting your event on the calendar too.
And yes, we did go in there.
Lorraine, where are you located in Australia?
I'm in Victoria, which is towards the bottom of Australia, looking out towards Tasmania, one of our states. So the capital city is Melbourne, and we hosted the Parliament of World Religions in Melbourne this year and had a 6 days of Labyrinth events. Was very encouraging. The people just came out. You know, we had a candlelight walk, and people just came out of the dark to walk the labyrinth. People of all persuasions, and some of this came about because World Labyrinth Day last year, we had quite a number of events, and from that we also gained some regional reps. So they became a, sort of a natural infrastructure to carry out this big event through the Parliament of World Religions. So here we go this year. At this stage, I'm not quite sure what's happening out across the states, but I imagine that every state and territory in Australia will have a labyrinth event for sure.
Well, that's spectacular. Wow. I can't say that about the United States. I don't know if every state's going to have a labyrinth event, but that is wonderful. I mean, in Australia, it's a huge country, too. To even think of that is amazing.
Yes, we have a newsletter that goes out every quarter across Australia, and that newsletter now is reaching about 250 people. So the stimulus is out there. And people are, really organising. I've heard people organising events for this year, but I haven't got them all listed yet. But one of the lovely things about having the 1st of May, and I know it was quite a long discussion we had working through when to have it, it's autumn in Australia. And we're fortunate because last year, for example, there were a group of people in Tasmania that just gathered their baskets and filled them full of autumn leaves and found themselves on the lawns of the Parliament House and created their classic labyrinth there. So it doesn't have to be, a big event. It can be small, although I really feel that in the past, the labyrinth may not have been so well known because it was in smaller connected communities, be it churches or spiritual groups. But now, through World Labyrinth Day, holding labyrinth events in big public places gives more people an opportunity to be aware and to be able to take the labyrinth up as their tool for feeling the peace.
And what specifically are you going to be doing in Victoria?
Well, that's still in the pipeline, but what I believe we'll be doing is the group that managed the Parliament of World Religions will come together, and in their own communities they'll have their walkers at one, but in the evening some of us are thinking we'll hold another candlelight labyrinth walk right in the centre of Melbourne. So that should be really something. And the lawn that we're proposing to, we haven't spoke to the City Council yet, of course, but to have this walk on, you can see it from the bridge, in a major cultural area of Melbourne, with theatres and restaurants and so forth. So we'll be using battery tea lights because we're never sure of the weather in Melbourne. They say if you don't like the weather now, just wait a minute and it'll change. So we've chosen to use battery tea lights. And it's so easy just to mark out the labyrinth, with a stick on the lawn and then pop your tea lights around. And, you can do it in half an hour or so.
Well, I hope that you, as per our discussion earlier, I hope that you find somebody to maybe make a YouTube video of the event
and
give a, you know, pass it around, because it's mm-hmm. wonderful to see our neighbors and friends from Australia mm-hmm. joining and doing this work and joining us and it would be nice to see that. It would be really nice to see that on in a video.
I was going to say, when you were talking about other ways to document this, one idea that I had too is to create either 12 or 24 different Facebook events, one for each area. The if it's 24 different events, would be one per hour, and see if we can't keep it documented. But there are 52 days until World Labyrinth Day. Walk is 1 at 1.
8 Saturdays for us.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I just wanted to say it starts in Kiritimati, which is in the Christmas Islands. I think that's very sweet.
That's the earliest. Okay. Huh. Interesting. And where does it finish? Yeah.
I thought it ended in Samoa, but it looks like there's some other different little islands. If you look at where the international dateline is, it cuts, kind of zigzags through this chain of islands.
Mm.
If I can find the...
One of the other benefits we have this year for World Labyrinth Day, and the reason why we can have events in parks without a lot of difficulty, is that we're still covered with public liability insurance, which is a big issue, I think, when you want to take the labyrinth out there in a public area.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly over here, I'm not sure in other parts of the world, but we're fortunate enough to have it covered this year, so I want to make the best of it. It runs out the day after World Labyrinth Day.
Perfect. That's so funny.
Not merely by chance.
Well, ladies, we're actually the show is on and being recorded, but it's not streaming. We've already run over our time, which is totally fine. Mm-hmm. But I think it's time to move on and continue our days in whatever way we are doing that. And so I just thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything else that you would like to say?
I'll just, you know, reiterate that I think everything we talked about is available on the labyrinthsociety.org website, whether it's a link to the forum, there's a countdown clock, the flyer, the press release, the activities, all the links and everything they need if they go to labyrinthsociety.org. So have a lot of resources. And I'm interested in any suggestions or ideas how to make it better.
Okay, great. And our caller, our guest from Australia?
Yes, I'm still here.
Do you have a URL or website that we can go to find out about what you're doing down there?
No, not yet. We're still finding our way. We actually have our newsletter hosted on the Labyrinth Northwest website. It's all the copies are archived there, the back editions. But one day we will have our own website.
Okay. Well, thank you both very much for joining me today. And many, many blessings on your paths. And it's wonderful to meet someone from Australia doing this. And it's such a pleasure. And I enjoyed talking with you, Stephanie. And we will continue to be in touch with one another about this and other things related to TLS. So thank you so much. And also, please, my invitation stands for anyone else out there, yourself included, anyone from Australia who would like to come on my show and be my guest and talk about what's going on down under. I would love to have you. So please email me and give me a chance to get you on with me as one of my guests. It would be my Labyrinth Luminary. So thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I look forward to your live event as well, seeing what you get.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
It will be interesting, and we're looking forward to it too. Okay.
All right. Carry on.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. You've been listening to Labyrinth in the News in the live category on blogtalkradio.com with your host, Christiana. Please join me March 15th when my guest will be David Gallagher, Executive Director of the Labyrinth Society. Join us as we discuss the Labyrinth movement from its infancy to the present and beyond. Have a blessed week in La Caixa.